From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's Money Talk. Thank you for joining us, Bob Brinker, along with you on our toll-free line, 1-800-934-2221. That is our contact number. Great guest segment coming up with a former member of the Federal Reserve. Stay with us for that one. It's going to be a good one because I always enjoy talking monetary policy with former members of the Federal Reserve. Well, let's take a look at the week ahead. Some of the data that will be flowing through the canyons of Wall Street, including the new home sales figures on Tuesday. This is a pretty light week, by the way, generally speaking, a generally light week, although there is one figure that will get more attention than others at the end of the week. I'll tell you about that, too. We'll get the new home sales Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern. The estimate is 520,000 annual rate, 520,000. Previous month came in at a 511,000. We continue to see a moderate recovery in the housing industry, and there's really nothing going on right now that would change that viewpoint. We'll also Thursday get April durable goods. This is a volatile series. It's expected to go up fractionally. Last month it was up a little over 1%. Well, durable goods orders are notoriously volatile, so keep that in mind. This will be for the month of April. And we'll also get the weekly jobless claims update on Thursday. And so far, they have been behaving quite well. And on Friday, we will get the gross domestic product estimate for the first quarter. This is a revision. It was initially reported at an annual rate of 0.5%. The current estimate of the revision, consensus-wise, is 0.8%. Either way you look at it. A soft patch, a sluggish first quarter would be another way to look at it, which again raises the question as to why the Federal Reserve is talking up rate increases so much. And we'll get to that with our former Federal Reserve member and our upcoming guest on the broadcast, because there's so much to talk about with reference to the Federal Reserve with our guest, a very, very timely appearance. And we'll be taking our opportunity to do just that. And we'll later in the broadcast, we'll take your calls on the toll-free line at 1-800-934-2221 so you can ask your questions directly of our guest, the former Federal Reserve member. In addition to that, San Francisco Federal Reserve President John Williams is going to be on the rubber chicken circuit. Are you excited yet? He'll be talking about monetary policy, and that'll be on Monday. In addition to that, the president of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve, Patrick Harker, he's going out on the rubber chicken circuit on Monday twice. So that's the old two for the price of one. We get two Federal Reserve Bank presidents giving rubber chicken speeches on Monday. This has just reached a tsunami of activity. The president of the Dallas Fed will be out speaking over rubber chicken on Wednesday. That'll be in Houston. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. It never seems to stop. Why? Well, I'm going to talk to our guest about that later. And we'll return with our guest segment. And later on, your calls for our guest. I'm Bob Brinker. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk. Has the recent stock market volatility created anxiety over your retirement savings? As inflation accelerates, are you concerned your municipal bonds won't provide sufficient income for your retirement? If you answered yes to any of these questions, now is the time to contact Zacks Investment Management. With our award-winning strategies, we can help you navigate the complex world of investing to build a secure financial future. Call 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor today. Zacks oversees several $1 billion and provides advice and guidance for thousands of high net worth investors like you. Call today at 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor and receive a free, no obligation portfolio review. That's Zacks Investment Management, 1-800-777-5572.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at Clear Touch. Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about Clear Touch, the phototherapy solution that works.
Call 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070 or cleartouchnails.com.
Calling all early birds and night owls. Get Norm's Bigger Better Breakfast all day and all night. Hickory smoked bacon, link sausage, ham, eggs, hash browns, and buttermilk hotcakes, only $6.59. Get your fill of Norm's famous Bigger Better Breakfast, open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
Staying healthy is difficult. You've got health questions, I've got health answers. I'm Dr. Bob Martz, and tune into my show Sunday morning at 10, right after The Motorman. Sponsored by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Chia Omega at finer health food stores.
I wish these bags under my eyes would just go away. Well, guess what? Wishing isn't going to get it done. Dialing will. 800-631-6443. That's the number for Genucel. Chamonix has extended their Mother's Day super sale just for you. Genucel uses state-of-the-art plant stem cell treatment in order to shrink and make those bags and the puffiness surrounding eyes, even the small lines, go away. It targets the bags and puffiness under the eyes, and it works for both men and women, and the remarkable results will exceed your expectations. And with its instant effects, you're going to see results in the first 12 hours. You get your money back. I love Genucel. I use it every day, twice a day. It's like a full night's sleep in a jar. And right now, during Chamonix's extended Mother's Day sale, Chamonix will double your order absolutely free. 800-631-6443. But it gets even better, because if you call right now, Chamonix is going to throw in their best-selling Laessence neck treatment absolutely free. Nothing works better on the sensitive skin on the neck area, and it's yours free when you try Genucel today. Hurry, the sale will be gone before you know it. 1-800-631-6443. Genucel from Chamonix.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Is it the pushy salespeople, the fake President's Day sale, or the fact that you know you'll regret what you bought as you do the walk of shame out of the mattress store? I'm here to tell you, those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we create your custom sleep profile to build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free and give you 100% refund, no questions asked. It's like it never happened. If you do love your new Helix mattress, keep it and your dignity. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Money program, Money Talk, spanning the globe on the World Wide Web. Our guest in this segment is Narayana Kocherlakota, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis and currently the Lionel McKenzie Professor of Economics at the University of Rochester. Professor, we thank you for your time. It is great to have you with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to rejoin you today. Thank you for having me on.
So many questions. Probably won't be able to get to them all, and we'll take a few from our listeners later in the broadcast, but I really appreciate your coming on, because what happens, and we've had some wonderful people associated with the Fed on with us in the past. A frequent guest is Alan Blinder, former vice chair. I know you know all these people. Previous guest is former Fed chair Alan Greenspan, and others as well. But we are just thrilled to have you with us, especially at this time, Professor, because there's just so much going on with the Federal Reserve. I don't know where to begin. I want to ask you this. Whether my perception is correct or whether you see it differently, I'm seeing a pattern that is developing, and we have three more coming up this week, two on Monday, one on Wednesday. I'm seeing a pattern develop that over the long past history, I don't recall, and that is Federal Reserve governors or participants going out on a weekly basis now, on the rubber chicken circuit, giving speeches about what the Federal Reserve is going to do in the future, how many times they're going to raise rates in the future, all kinds of predictions that if you were truly data dependent, you could never make. What's going on?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, and I myself, in my former job, as you mentioned, I was president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis until the end of last year. I was certainly one of those who was on, as you call it, the rubber chicken circuit. You know, as a president of a reserve bank, one of your obligations is to communicate to the people in your district. So in my case, when I was president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, my district was enormous by area. It included Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, and Michigan. And your job is to communicate to the public about monetary policy. And in part of that communication, you want to try to offer insights about what the, from your perspective, what the appropriate future course of policy would be. Now, one of the challenges here is that no one of these people, with the exception of one, who I'll get to in a second, is really charged with speaking on behalf of the committee. In fact, every one of them will say, I'm not speaking for the committee. So what they're doing instead is explaining their perceptions of what they would like the committee to do if they were, in fact, in charge by themselves, which they're not. They're just one voice among many. The one exception, of course, is Chair Janet Yellen, who, when she speaks, she is speaking on behalf of the entire committee. And that gives her words, I think, more heft than, considerably more heft than anybody else. And she's supposed to speak, I believe, this week, for example.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting insight, especially coming from your point of view, having been in the meetings, having joined the Federal Open Market Committee in 2011. And on that score, Professor, I want to ask you, there are four, and if there's one I'm missing, please correct me, but there are four areas of significance that appear to be on the table every time the Federal Open Market Committee convenes. And obviously the top two are part of the mandate, and we'll get to the mandate later, but the first two are part of the mandate, which are the employment level and the inflation level. But now there are two others that I wonder, and that's why I ask you, I wonder how much they also come in, even though they're not part of the mandate. And the two others are the dollar strength or weakness, and but in the current situation, dollar strength, and then in those three in particular.
Yeah, no, another great
And then
question.
International. International was the other one,
sure.
Professor. Yeah,
yeah, another great question. But so I think the right way to think about this is the price level, the inflation rate, as you put it, and as you say, and the employment level, those are the objectives of the Fed in making monetary policy. The dollar, the level of the dollar is not part of the remit of the Federal Market Committee. With that said, of course, when you make monetary policy, when the FOMC makes monetary policy, they're very aware that if they were to raise rates in June, that would likely cause the dollar to appreciate. And then that feeds back on prices and employment. So in that way, you take into account the dollar, but the strength of the dollar per se, what its level is, there's no magic number that you have in mind that you're trying to achieve as a monetary policymaker. The same, I think, is true of international conditions, that, you know, that it's a committee that's making policy for the United States. It's not, there's no interest in, there's no objective in trying to make policy for the world, except insofar as that world comes back to affect us here in the United States. And I think what we've seen over the last, I would say at least going back to 2010, is the events in the other parts of the world can come back to influence us. And our own decisions here in the United States can affect us, not just through domestic channels, but how, by going affecting other countries in the world and then coming back to affect us.
I think that some observers look at the Federal Reserve and they're leaning, clearly leaning, as a result of the minutes being disclosed toward a possible rate hike as soon as next month, if the economy continues to make progress. I think some people look at this and they say, well, wait a minute, time out. We have Mario Draghi doing everything in his power to stimulate economic growth in the European Union. Not only that, they face this Brexit uncertainty and the June 23rd vote on top of that. We have Mr. Abe, and then we have the Bank of Japan. They're doing everything they can to try to stimulate that stagnant economy there. And I think some people ask themselves, why would we want to tighten monetary policy at a time like this? What say you?
Oh, what say I? Well, I've been pretty, vocal in expressing my views, first when I was on the committee, and then perhaps even more since I've left. I'm writing columns for Bloomberg View and trying to express views on monetary policy as part of that. And I have to agree that I think it's a very challenging time to think about raising rates because of the gravitational pull you're describing from the rest of the world. Is all many of the developed countries, the ones you just mentioned, are facing real challenges in trying to get their economies up to moving and get their inflation rates moving. And that means that when we raise rates, that has bad effects on their economy because it lowers the demand for their goods and services. And those bad effects come back to influence us through trade channels and, as we saw, I think, earlier this year, through markets as well. So I think that it's a very – if I were on the committee still, I would be expressing the view that we should not be raising rates. And I've argued, in fact, that we should be potentially thinking about lowering rates because of – again, because of U.S. economic conditions, and then those are being influenced, I think, by international conditions.
Well said. Well said, Governor. I would say that if I had just a moment to address the committee, I would say this to the committee, and I want your reaction to this. I would say, members of the committee, higher interest rates are a means to an end. They are not an end in and of themselves. And the reason I say that, Professor, is because they seem to be in the process. They did this in December of when the clock ran out on last year. They almost talk themselves into rate increases. At the same time, they claim to be data dependent. And I think that confuses people.
Well, I think it is a little confusing. I think that the committee communicates too much, as you're suggesting, in terms of the path of interest rates as opposed to what they're trying to achieve through interest rates. Inflation right now continues to be running well below the Fed's target of 2% per year. Employment, I think employment remains, I think, too low in the United States compared to where it was before the beginning of the recession. So I think both of those give you reason for wanting to keep accommodative monetary policy in place. But the committee has got itself caught up in the objective of we want to get to a certain point with rates, say in 3 years' time, and we don't want to get there too fast. We don't want to have to raise rates too quickly. And so you end up with this gradual path of normalization is the language that's used. So the goal ends up being where do we want interest rates to be as opposed to where do we want the economy to be. I think it's an unfortunate communication tactic that's been adopted. I would like them to see them find their way out of it, but so far they have not been able to.
Well, Professor, your point on employment is very well taken because, as you know, U6, the underemployment rate, stands at 9.7, well above where it was prior to the 08 turndown. And that's a rate that's simply too high. And that rate argues strongly, in my opinion, not to be raising rates right now. I want to ask you a question about savers. We have a lot of savers that listen to our broadcast. People have worked hard and saved their money. And some of them complain about the low rates. They're not getting in hardly any return on their savings, short-term savings for sure. And some of them have considerable sums invested there. I wonder, within the walls of the FOMC, where do savers come in? Does the issue of, well, we're not really resulting in any return here for savers, does that ever come up?
You know, certainly it's a factor in decision-making is the fact that by keeping rates low, you're lowering the income of those who are savers. That means that they have less demand for goods and services. And you have to weigh that against the, which is that demand for goods and services then pushes upward on employment and prices, which is what you're trying to accomplish through the low interest rate policy. So the savers, their income being low is hurting your progress or your objective, but that's being outweighed, or at least being offset by the fact that borrowers are more able to have a higher income as a result, not more disposable income because interest rates are lower. But the biggest force through which policy works is that everybody has an incentive to spend today as opposed to spend in the future. When rates are low, borrowers because it's more cheap for them to borrow, savers because, as you just said, the return to saving is low. That is the point of that policy, is to stimulate people to spend today as opposed to save for the future. I'll just add one quick point to this, which I think is very important, is the reason the Fed is keeping interest rates low is the very reason that savers are facing a difficult time. And what I mean by that is around the world, I think people around the world are facing a great deal of uncertainty about the future. And they're looking for safe assets in order to offset that uncertainty. And I'm not just talking about households. I'm talking about businesses. I'm talking about financial institutions. So there's huge demand for safe forms of saving out there in the world. And there's very limited supply of those kinds of instruments. Many of the assets we considered safe for saving back in 2007 aren't considered safe anymore. Everything backed by U.S. residential real estate, like mortgage-backed securities, was thought of as being safe in 2007. We don't think that anymore. Greek debt was thought of as being safe in 2007. We don't think that anymore. So the supply of what's safe has shrunk. The demand for safety has gone up. That's why the Fed has to keep rates so low. And that's why savers are being, quote, unquote, punished, is it's not the Fed that's doing it. It's the conditions that are making the Fed keep rates low that are punishing savers.
Our guest is Narayana Kocherlakota, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis and currently the Lionel McKenzie Professor of Economics at the University of Rochester. The professor joined the Federal Open Market Committee in 2011. When we return, your calls for the professor at 1-800-934-2221. 1-800-934-2221. And Professor, I'll ask you when we return whether politics and the calendar of politics, like in the second half this year, can ever come into the Federal Open Market Committee deliberations. We'll return. Stay with us. It's America's Money Program.
This
Money Talk.
Is Money Talk.
This Memorial Day, kick off summer with something very cool. Up to 30% off appliance special buys, like the innovative Samsung stainless steel French door refrigerator, now over $900 off. Its flex zone drawer has adjustable compartments for better organization. It handles everything from cold cuts to cold drinks. That's not just cool, that's a party. Memorial Day savings of up to 30% on appliances now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last valid through June 8th, U.S. only.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay cargo shorts are just $39.99 each when you buy two or more.
Having mold in your home can be dangerous, causing a wide range of medical problems. Having mold in your home can also be expensive. For the sake of your health and the value of your home, you know you have to remove it. But calling in the remediation crew in their spacesuits to remove walls and ceilings can cost thousands. You might end up taking out a second mortgage to afford it. But now, you can take care of the problem yourself for a fraction of the cost. If you've got mold, log on to gotmoldpro.com and get Contractor Series Mold Killing Solution. This EPA-registered and patented product is toxic to mold, but safe for you, your family, and pets. You won't need the remediation crew, and you won't even need their spacesuits. Just get Contractor Series Mold Killing Solution at gotmoldpro.com. Apply it to the affected areas, and don't forget to treat air ducts and filters as well to stop mold spores from spreading throughout the house. Mold used to be a costly problem that had to be handled by professionals. Now, you're the pro with Contractor Series Mold Killing Solution. Available at gotmoldpro.com. Today, the mold. Tomorrow, the politicians.
Hey, it's Peter Tilden. I'm talking to Dr. Vosh, who's assistant clinical professor of medicine at UCLA,
a certified diplomat in the new field of obesity and medicine, and a practicing endocrinologist who's been dealing with metabolic issues and weight loss for more than 25 years. Now, you've had some experience with Natron Selfie Trinity, right?
I've had the pleasure working with Natasha's Natron and using their probiotic products for many years. And Natron's probiotics have helped many of my overweight patients who are on a weight loss program because they find that not only do they have better bowel function with less constipation, less bloating, and an ease of staying on the diet, but they feel that the Natron seems to have a certain high quality and ease of digestion and use.
So call now for your 90-day risk-free trial of Natron's Healthy Trinity. The first 50 callers are going to get 30 days free with their order, plus free second-day delivery. That's great. Call toll-free 866, the number 4-NATRON. That's 866, the number 4-NATREN, or visit Natron.com and enter promo code Peter for your 30 days free.
Hi, this is Luis Venegas of Freedom Home Buyers, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, call me at 626-414-3600. I could pay cash and close in as little as 3 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location. I am not a realtor or associated with a realty company. I am a private investor who buys several houses a month and wants to buy more. I buy inherited houses, divorce houses, behind on payment houses. I even buy the tenant won't pay me rent houses. Do you own a house that's trashed and need thousands of dollars of repairs? Great, because I love buying junky houses. I buy vacant houses, abandoned houses, condemned houses, and foreclosed houses. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at 626-414-3600. That's 626-414-3600. Call me now at 626-414-3600. 626-414-3600.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435.
888-400-0435.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
Talk Radio.
790.
KABC.
This is Money Talk.
We're back on America's Money Program, Money Talk, taking your calls for the former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis and current professor of economics at the University of Rochester, Professor Kocha Lakota. And our toll-free line for you is 1-800-934-2221. And, Professor, I just want you to know I, too, am a huge fan of Jack White.
Oh, well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he is amazing. I want to ask you this. Looking at the upcoming calendar for Fed meetings this year, we have one scheduled in September, and then we have a really curious one, timing-wise, scheduled for immediately prior to the general election, the first couple of days of November. What I'm wondering is, conventional wisdom in Wall Street has always been that, the central bankers, they like to stay as far away as they can from political controversy, and the last thing they want to be doing is changing rates at the time of a general election. And I just wondered, is that correct or is that fiction?
My experience on the committee, and I attended meetings from 2009 through 2015, was that was complete fiction. That the election calendar played no role in the committee's thinking. And I can give you one concrete example of that is that in November of 2010, there was a congressional election, off cycle election, and that election, the House went Republican. There was definitely Democrats suffered relatively large losses, and I think there was a perception that this was a vote against fiscal and other kinds of policy stimulus. The day after that election, the committee voted to expand their quantitative easing program, in launching what was popularly known as QE2. Absolutely, you know, not really paying any attention to what's going on in the political environment. That's the way monetary policy is supposed to work, and that's the way my experience was that it did work.
Our guest is Professor Kocha Lakota of the University of Rochester. We're taking your calls at 1-800-934-2221. Let's get out to Santa Fe. Mary, you're on with the professor. Go ahead. Okay, we'll see if we can get her back on the line. I wanted to ask you also about the dual mandate, because the fact is that, as you know, I know you know this, I do this to share with the audience, we have this dual mandate regarding inflation levels, regarding employment levels, whereas the European Central Bank, under Mario Draghi, they focus, basically on inflation without regard to the level of employment. Which of the two banks has it right, in your opinion, or maybe neither? What do you think about that?
Yeah, as you say, you know, we have in the United States, the Fed is charged with two goals: promote price stability and promote max employment. And promoting price stability, the committee's translated into keeping inflation close to 2%. Whereas the max employment number mandate is a little squishier quantitatively, but basically trying to keep unemployment low. My experience as a policymaker was that in the United States, there's really not been that much. There hasn't been any conflict between these two mandates over the past 6 or 7 years. Maybe even going back further than that. Basically, inflation's been running low and employment's been running low, so both of those have been calling for providing more accommodation. The same situation is true in Europe. Both inflation is low and employment is low. And so, again, that's calling for more accommodation. I think there are circumstances in which the two mandates can be in conflict with one another. I think we probably in the U.S. have it right that the central bank should be looking towards employment as well as prices and thinking about how to set monetary policy. But as I say, typically – this is not – everyone remembers, you know, the 70s, in which there was obviously a huge tension between the two mandates. That's not the situation we've been facing for quite some time in the United States.
Great call coming in from KCMO Radio Kansas City in Overland Park. Dave, you're on with our guest. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I've got a question about growth. After the 2007-08 recession, I think growth has only averaged 2% over the last 8 years. Why is that? Shouldn't we be averaging 3-4% after such an event?
Well, that's a great question, and it's the subject of enormous controversy among economists. I can give you my own perspective is that I think that monetary policy has not been able to play the kind of supportive role that I would like to have seen it play because of the fact that the Fed was not able to lower interest rates as much as he would like to have. So, and this is because you really can't make interest rates go much further below zero because of the fact that cash, people can always hold money, hold cash, and earn a zero rate of return. So that zero, there's something that economists call the zero lower bound, really imposes a constraint on what monetary policy can do. You see some countries in Europe now pushing interest rates a little bit below zero, but overall, basically, there's a constraint on what policy can do. The Fed tried to get around this by buying longer-term assets to try to generate growth. I think that was somewhat successful, but it's really an imperfect substitute. So what you would have liked to have seen, I'm sure, or at least I would like to have seen, is fiscal policy step up and help out. But we didn't really see much of that for a variety of reasons in the United States and really around the world. We have not seen fiscal policy step in and play the role that I would have liked to have seen. So I think it's really the constraint on monetary policy generated by this lower bound interest rates has really held back the U.S. we look better than most of the rest of the world. That would be the the one positive I'd offer on that. I think the Fed did a lot of very good things in terms of providing accommodation that other parts of the world were not able to do or did not choose to do. But, boy, I wish we could have done more.
Before we take this question, I want to remind all of our listeners to state the obvious, that the premise of any question is not necessarily valid. Danny in Atlanta, you're on with the governor. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask, why does the Federal Reserve believe that devaluing the value of my wages and savings creates jobs? I mean, we had roaring inflation during the Carter administration. That didn't create jobs.
Yeah, so there's a really important distinction to be made here that it's between inflation and longer-term inflation expectations. So what went wrong in the 70s is that longer-term inflation expectations started to spiral upwards. And as you're suggesting, that is not a good thing. And the FOMC reacted to that late, but did react to that under the leadership of Chairman Paul Volcker. What the Federal Open Market Committee attempts to do is generate high inflation now while still keeping longer-term inflation expectations stable. And there's been no – in fact, the problem we've been facing in this country over the last year and a half, 2 years is – longer-term inflation expectations have been going the wrong way, that is drifting downwards. Why does the committee think this is going to be good for you as a worker? The idea is that by generating more inflation now compared to where it's going to be in the future, people spend more now because they want to spend before the prices go up. So that by spending more now, that generates more demand for goods and services. That means firms have to go and hire more workers. And that puts upward pressure on wages because they're competing for a scarce resource that is labor in their production. So that's the difference between now. The difference between what happened in the 70s and what the Fed is trying to do now is the Fed is trying to generate higher short-term inflation while keeping longer-term inflation expectations anchored, whereas in the 70s, longer-term inflation expectations got out of control.
Mary is back on the line in Santa Fe listening to the great KKOP Radio Albuquerque. Mary, you're on with the professor. Go ahead.
Yes, Mary. Hi. So how uncertain is the economy? Is there a chance of repeating 08? And how safe of a haven is gold, which is much touted because we printed so many dollars?
So those are two distinct questions, great questions. In terms of the risk of 08, I think a lot of safeguards have been put into place in the financial system that have been motivated by what happened in 2008 that I expect to keep safe from such a calamitous outcome. The real risks that I see associated with the economy is we really don't have as much capacity in terms of monetary policy because interest rates are so close to zero already. There's not as much capacity on the behalf of what the Fed can do in order to support the economy if a negative shock were to occur. And that's my major concern. But, I personally think that a lot has been done to safeguard the economy against a repeat of 2008. In terms of gold, people tout gold for two distinct reasons. One, it's because of general uncertainty in the world economy. People always run to gold during times of uncertainty. And so I think that it is an uncertain time, but so that's one reason why people like gold. But I don't see the uncertainty now as being that much more dramatically higher than, say, 10 years ago. Then the other risk is more specific, which is inflation risk. All inflation risk is my own assessment of it is it's downward, not upward. The concerns you should be having is, boy, if we have – we have so much monetary accommodation in place that is printed as many we've created so much money, so many bank reserves and as on the part of the Fed, and we still haven't seen inflation. Now, so I think the risks are only in terms of the downside, in terms of inflation, very little on the upside.
Professor, going back after World War II, as you well know, We had real GDP growth in the U.S. Of about 3.25% a year. But in recent years, it's been closer to 2.25%. Some people believe that a lack of productivity growth, a lack of population growth, is holding down the rate of growth potential. What do you think?
I think it's really hard to know. Economists are famous for getting these kinds of forecasts wrong. I think it's very difficult. The rate of potential is shaped by population growth, which is a little bit easier to know. But it's also shaped by the willingness of people to work. That's a little harder to know. A lot more people enter the workforce, mainly women, in the 90s than economists were expecting, and that boosted growth. And then there's the rate of innovation, which is very difficult to predict as well. My own thinking is that as long as inflation is as low as it is, that indicates there's room for improvement that is not going to be affected by what potential GDP really is or potential output really is right now. As long as inflation is running as low as it is, we can do more without generating too much inflation. And we should be doing that extra.
All right. Joe is on the line in San Clemente. Joe, you're on with the professor. Go ahead.
Yes. A few weeks ago, I understand the president, and I think the vice president, met privately with Janet Yellen. I didn't see any results coming out of that meeting or anything that was public. But my question is, to what extent do you think political considerations override economic considerations in making the decisions coming from the FOMC?
Yeah, I think there's always concerns about this, that there might be undue influence coming from the White House or possibly from Congress on the making of monetary policy. My own experience on the committee is that there's very little of that kind of influence, and it's really because of the experience of the 1970s. It was alluded to earlier in the earlier question that there was a lot of direct influence on the making of monetary policy during the 1970s and in the 1960s. If you go back and read the transcripts from the Federal Open Market Committee, you'll see that political influence very directly displayed. That's just not the kind of world we live in today at all. Both the White House and, to a little lesser extent, Congress, but the White House, very respectful of leaving the Federal Open Market Committee alone to do its job. So, no, the committee is basically trying to make policy to as best as it can to achieve the economic objectives that are laid out for it by Congress in terms of inflation and employment.
We often hear members of Congress, specific members of Congress who shall remain nameless, I'll do them a favor, and they hammer away at the need to audit the Fed. Now, our Federal Reserve Associated guests in the past, Professor, have told us over and over that the Fed has always been audited thoroughly from a financial perspective. So why are the citizenry getting pounded with this constant tsunami of let's audit the Fed coming from certain congressional members? What is that about?
Yeah, I think it's public relations, real public relations success, I would say.
Because yeah.
as your previous guest pointed out, and I would echo what they say, is Federal Reserve is audited, and anyone who goes to the Board of Governors webpage can see the results of those audits. Last 5 years, Deloitte Touche has been the external auditor. Now KPMG is going to be doing it. It's just like an outside firm. Any business in America gets audited by an external auditor. The Fed has just been treated the same way. There's a ton of detail on the Board of Governors website that's available about, for example, what assets the Fed owns. You can get that by CUSIP number by CUSIP number, exactly yeah. what assets are owned. So what is this all about? It's really about auditing not the financial position of the Federal Reserve, which is what people typically think of as meaning by an audit, but really Congress interfering with the making of monetary policy by having more trying to get a direct influence, I would say, on the making of monetary policy by the Fed.
Michael, listening to the great WLS Chicago. Michael, you're on with the professor. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. Let's see if we can get that caller back on the line. Well, I'll tell you what, it is illuminating to have you with us. And I have to tell you that you do contribute to transparency tremendously by taking the time to share your thoughts with us. And we can't thank you enough for your time. We wish you continued success.
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your guest tonight, Bob. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Our guest, Narayana Kocha-Lakota, Professor of Economics, University of Rochester. I'm Bob Brinker. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
Has the recent stock market volatility created anxiety over your retirement savings? As inflation accelerates, are you concerned your municipal bonds won't provide sufficient income for your retirement? If you answered yes to any of these questions, now is the time to contact Zacks Investment Management. With our award-winning strategies, we can help you navigate the complex world of investing to build a secure financial future. Call 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor today. Zacks oversees several $1 billion and provides advice and guidance for thousands of high net worth investors like you. Call today at 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor and receive a free, no obligation portfolio review. That's Zacks Investment Management, 1-800-777-5572. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Potential for loss exists in any investment. Material is for informational purposes only. It is not investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice. A recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. No advice is given about a strategy's suitability for a particular investor.
She was thrown out of a pickup truck.
Somebody threw him out of a car and shattered his leg.
They found her walking on the streets.
Many have been abused, malnourished, eating garbage.
Scabs, itching, licking, missing fur.
There's this commercial on TV that the ASPCA does. And they want you to send in $19 a month for a dog in the shelter. I think you should go and adopt a dog from the ASPCA and then get that dog on Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
You don't need to spend thousands on vet bills.
Their answer is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
When you rescue a dog, you've got to feed them right for life. Every rescue deserves at least 90 days of Dinovite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Dinovite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's out of my way strong. Even in the park, playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine, plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
You think that you're rescuing them, but honestly, they're going to end up rescuing you. You don't know what they've gone through, and they're not going to be perfect. And they are so happy that you are taking a chance on them to be a part of your family. I urge you to go down to your local shelters, pounds, dog rescues, foundations, you name it, and rescue a dog. Once you get your rescue dog, you should definitely order some Dinovite. Go online and order it. DINOVITE.com. Dinovite. It's awesome stuff. 90 days of Dinovite will make your dog a happy dog. It will help them with their overall health. You don't need to spend thousands on vet bills. Dinovite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course. Call 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Money Talk.
Welcome back to America's Money Program, Money Talk. Wow, it was really fun to have our guest today, Narayana Kocha-Lakota, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis and current professor at the University of Rochester, and has also, by the way, been on the faculty at a number of other great schools, at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, also professor of economics at the University of Iowa in Hawkeye Country, also at Stanford University and the University of Minnesota, and currently at the University of Rochester. Lots of good information from the professor today, and we do appreciate his taking the time to be with us. For information on my investment letter, that's Bob Brinker's Market Timer investment letter, go to bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary bank issue. Right at the homepage, just click on the Request a Complimentary Bank Issue feature, and that'll do it. And while you're there, check out the information on Money Talk On Demand, enabling you to stream Money Talk to your computer, download to your smartphone as well, listen when you like. The investment talk is year-round, and you can listen to Money Talk wherever you go, whenever you like, with Money Talk On Demand. Check it out. Information posted at the logo there at bobbrinker.com. Well, I think that the number that'll get the most attention this coming week in the canyons of Wall Street will be the revision to first quarter gross domestic product. First quarter gross domestic product initially reported at 0.5% annual growth, and that will be revised. And currently, the consensus estimate on that revision is looking at 0.8%. So if that turns out to be right, it would be fair to say that is a soft patch in the economy. Before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship. Program coordinator Ravi Chandran, producer Meredith Oakes, and our technical directors, Angel Bordone and Mr. Bob Mack. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.
Has the recent stock market volatility created anxiety over your retirement savings? As inflation accelerates, are you concerned your municipal bonds won't provide sufficient income for your retirement? If you answered yes to any of these questions, now is the time to contact Zacks Investment Management. With our award-winning strategies, we can help you navigate the complex world of investing to build a secure financial future. Call 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor today. Zacks oversees several billion dollars and provides advice and guidance for thousands of high net worth investors like you. Call today at 1-800-777-5572 to speak with a Zacks financial advisor and receive a free, no obligation portfolio review. That's Zacks Investment Management, 1-800-777-5572. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Potential for loss exists in any investment. Material is for informational purposes only. It is not investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice. A recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. No advice is given about a strategy's suitability for a particular investor.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's my congestion's out of my way strong. Even in the park, playing with my dogs. Go fetch, Bosley.
Allegra D, a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine, plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in under 1 hour.
Allegra D is breathing free for 24 hours strong, even in the convertible.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
At GEICO, we've been innovating car insurance for over 75 years with forward-thinking ideas like online quotes and the GEICO mobile app. And to prove it, we'll play one of our first radio commercials from 75 years ago.
By Jiminy, GEICO could save you money on your car insurance, which is what we'll be doing over 75 years from now. Who knows, maybe with some sort of application that's accessible on a futuristic handheld device. We'll call them online quotes.
See? Forward-thinking.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
King to cover, who scores?
The home of Kings Hockey.
KABC, Los Angeles,
Orange County,
a Cumulus station.
KABC News, live and local at 12 midnight. It's tomorrow. I'm Dave Alpert. Over 20 women returning from a religious retreat in Big Bear were injured when their tour bus rolled over in the San Bernardino Mountains Sunday afternoon.
The 21 injured were among 50 aboard the bus on their way back to Iglesia Del Cristo Ministry in Downey. They were returning home from a weekend retreat in Big Bear when the accident happened. Pastor Roberto Acosta told NBC4 News.
We regroup, and everything else of us we believe got a purpose in life. You understand, good or bad, we learn from it and we walk from it in good faith and standing that God is faithful.
Sunday afternoon, the bus lost control, scraped a canyon wall, rear-ended a car, and tipped over on Highway 330 while coming downhill. The CHP is investigating whether the bus had lost its brakes. Tom Perumian, KBC News.
Campaigning here in Southern California, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says he has the best chance of defeating Donald Trump in the November election.
I think the objective evidence is very clear that in virtually every national poll and every state poll, we defeat Trump by larger numbers than does Secretary Clinton.
Sanders held a campaign rally last night at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Hillary Clinton will be in Los Angeles Monday attending two private fundraisers, and Tuesday she has campaign events scheduled in South LA, Commerce, and Riverside. On Wednesday, Donald Trump will rally supporters at the Anaheim Convention Center. President Obama has arrived in Vietnam, his three-day visit aimed at bolstering trade ties, and he's also just announced lifting the arms export embargo on Vietnam, removing the final vestige of wartime animosity. Egypt is using a robot submarine to try to find the black boxes of the Egypt airplane that disappeared from radar last week.
That submarine can go to a depth of about 3,000 meters. However, the sea in that area of the Mediterranean can be about 5,000 meters deep. So it is quite possible Egyptian authorities may need additional help.
Correspondent Nick Robertson in Cairo. There are more drones here in Los Angeles than anywhere in the country.
The Federal Aviation Administration finds that the most